Well, if you have a Bible this morning, we're going to go to the book, the Gospel of John, in a few moments. Let me just say, if you're watching this online, it is a joy to have you here with us. Let me just mention a quick thing. If you are not yet a Christian, I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. And if you happen to be watching this live or later, and you're not sure you're a Christian, if you've got time, I've got time, send me a message. Love to do a Zoom call, phone call, at your convenience, and share what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. Not a churchgoer, not Catholic, Protestant, this or that, not part of some club, part of his family, because he loves you and his heart is towards you. So if we can help with that, drop me a line. Good, the Gospel of John, can we go there? What mood are you in today? Doesn't actually matter to me, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But, you know, I've been sharing for, I think this would be the third week now, all about, I don't even really know what to call this, about like an overflowing life with God, about union with Christ, about the exchange life, about the life Jesus really wants us to live right here and right now. Amen? Come on, help me out here. Connect with your inner Pentecostal. And I've been sharing for a couple of weeks how I think about 3 weeks ago, I just experienced what I don't think is hyperbole or exaggeration to call a life-changing experience with Jesus. I really feel my life got spun around and revolutionized. And that happened about 3 weeks ago. It's really just about the time I was coming back from France and happened over a few days. And It's for me, I'm still in the same place, and it's getting better and better and better. So I want to share just some of the things I did to get to that place and how we can stay in that place. And I'm trying to really put this into words, and I find it hard to. It feels like God brought me into a place of absolute perfect rest I've never experienced in my life to this moment. Hallelujah. Do you know what it's like to not have a care in the world? That's how I literally, like emotionally, that's how I've been feeling for the last 2 or 3 weeks right now. It feels like I'm just in perfect rest. I'm not saying there aren't things going on around me and problems. And I just literally half an hour ago heard about a dear pastor friend of mine here in New England who just died yesterday as well. Oh, man. And, you know, there's life things in the world, you will have tribulation. But I think Jesus lived, I'm talking about internally, in a place of perfect peace, a place of perfect rest. He's in the boat, in the storm, everything's going crazy. It's like turbulence in a plane, the boat's just being, the Bible says the boat was tossed around. Have you ever seen a boat just tossed? You realize how flimsy a boat is when it's just like, you know, people are just hanging. Have you ever been in a plane with real turbulence? You know when the flight attendants get afraid? You know when people heads are bouncing on the ceiling if they're not strapped in? Come on, have you ever taken a plane and you're just jerking around like an octopus on crack? You know, and Jesus is in a boat like that, and yet he's at perfect peace. And then Jesus stands up and he releases out of him what he's walking in internally. Peace, be still. Suddenly the sea was like glass. Can you see that? You know, most of us charismatics, we would have gone to the bow of the boat. We would have done a Leonardo DiCaprio in person. Bound the spirit of storm, cast this out, cast some in a thing. Done the genealogy. I mean, just like a million other goofy little stand on one leg, do the okey-cokey, and then invent 10 clever reasons why it didn't work. Don't ask me to say that again. Here's the thing, you can't release peace if you're not walking in peace. And Jesus lived in perfect peace. Come on, he lived in perfect joy, in perfect rest in his relationship with the Father. When I say joy, I'm not talking about he's going around just giggling, but he's living in that overflow of joy all the time. And that's the life he came to give us. And I'll be honest with you, I've had little moments in my life, like all of us have, where I've experienced that, and it's glorious. And usually it's gone away. Usually my experience of it anyway, let me put it that way, has gone away. And I just feel I've been living now for about 3 weeks in this glorious place where God has set me free from me. Everybody's like, thank God, yes. Don't cheer, he wants to set you free from you as well. And I'll be honest with you, I've had to revise my conception of the Christian life about a few things. And it's like, of course I believe God could come and bless us and do things, but I just feel there's this, come on, the life he had, he gave up at Calvary that we might have it back now. Not a lesser life, not a mini, not a little taster, not the Happy Meal version, and we get the real thing when we go to heaven. Right now, as he is, so are we in this world, 1 John 2, verse 6. You always see these things. Jesus says, John 14, 9, we'll read it in a moment. As the Father loves me, so I love you. Abide in my love. And I feel I've been learning like never before what it really means to abide. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And he says, all you've really got to do is rest in me and let my life flow in and flow through you. Come on, you guys. It's really worth grasping. Can I say this? And again, maybe I'm just sort of dumb. Nobody said amen, I'm glad. You know, I used to have a view of, I think I've always taken God seriously all of my Christian life, always been somebody pursuing God, his word, but I've had to rethink a lot of my ideas. I think I used to have an idea of resisting temptation that like, okay, we're going to get hit by temptation and that it's our job to kind of take the word of God and go, you know, it is written and resist temptation. And I'm fighting temptation with the tools he gives me, amen, but I'm fighting it. I've learned that I don't have to fight it. I've just been practicing this glorious thing for the last few weeks where it's like every single temptation I ever see, it's like I go, Jesus, I can't do this. And actually, the danger is when we can do it. The problem is I can win over a lot of temptations and so can you, but then something will always pop up and you end up playing whack-a-mole. For years, does anybody know the verse, James 4, verse 7? I've quoted that for years. Resist the devil. That's not what it says. It says submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. I'll be honest. I was sort of like, Jesus, with your power, your anointing, your word, you know, a lot of blood. I resisted the devil and he would often flee. I always missed out on the submit to God. And there's something glorious about literally laying down our life and just have him flow his life through you. And I feel like I'm plugged into an electrical socket right now. But again, I said that last week, it's not because I had some really glorious, an angel visited me in the night and hit me on the head with a magic wand. And it's actually because I went through some principles. It's actually, I got this reading some books that were written in the 19th century, like 150 years ago. And I want to go really quickly, I'm doing this week by week, through about five things I did to have this breakthrough, and I'm trying to do every day to stay there. Come on, key number one, you've actually got to believe it's possible. And at times, that's humility. I had to look at my Christian life, and I'm not judging anybody, but it's like, frankly, the life of nearly everybody I know, and go, there's got to be more than this. And I'm talking about people who speak in tongues and prophesy and do all of those great and wonderful things. But it's like, I actually had to come to the conclusion, you're not going to get more until you realize there's more to get. And I believe we've got to have a vision. Come on, imagine if you never had a care in the world for the rest of your life. Again, I'm not talking about external problems. You'll probably get more. But is it possible to stay in such a place of rest and peace and joy and abiding? Hallelujah. The Bible says, he who abides in him does not sin. You're saying, Graham, you're preaching sinless perfection? Well, sort of. Not really, no. I'm saying I can stop abiding in him. I can stop dwelling in his word, abiding. I can just put Jesus back in the closet and go, Yeah? But I tell you, when we're plugged in, we're abiding in Him. Righteousness and holiness is flowing through us. And I had to realize that I had good Protestant evangelical theology that you receive righteousness as a gift purely by faith. You come, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life by one Christ Jesus, Romans 5:17. By faith are you saved through grace, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Amen? I got that peace. I think what I'd never got is that sanctification, holiness, is 100% by faith. God isn't saying, do your best and I will make up what's lacking. He's saying, you can't do any of this. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And our job is to learn to abide in Him. So real quick, and if you're watching this late, come on, five keys. I think number one, and I want you to look, here's how I've been looking at this anyway. I think there's a glorious, life-changing, what historically people would call a crisis moment. Crisis doesn't mean something bad, it means something dramatic, a big change. I think you can have a life-changing encounter today with Jesus. But I think these five things are also things we want to keep practicing. Not working for, but working out every day. So number one, God wants you to see this is possible. Jesus says, come to me, I'm going to give you rest. My yoke is easy, my yoke is light. You'll find rest for your soul. Jesus says, I will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is fixed on me. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Jesus says in John 6:35, I'm the bread of life, I'm the bread come down from heaven. He who eats of me, he who drinks of me will never thirst, never hunger ever again. Do you know, all of our temptation, sin, problems, all of our problems come from the fact we're not completely satisfied in Jesus. When we're utterly satisfied in Jesus, anything Satan dangles in front of us is like, thanks but no thanks. And God wants you to be utterly satisfied in Him. Come on, number one, we've got to see this. Number two, we've actually got to come to Jesus, not to church, to the pastor, to some book, some conference, whatever. There's a place we've actually got to learn to push aside all of the Christian paraphernalia and come and learn to feed and drink off Jesus Himself. I went through that last week. I found about 20 verses in the Gospels. Jesus says, "He, come unto me, all you who are laden. He who comes to me, he who is thirsty, let him come unto me. Come unto me, come unto me. Come." There's a coming to Jesus. And we need to keep coming to Him every day. Come on, the third key, and I spoke, let me begin with this today. I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, and I'll be honest, I'd never really done this one till about 3 weeks ago. I think key number three, we've got to, what the old timers would call consecrate our lives. We've got to give God everything. Now watch out. Because it's so easy for us to go like, yes, amen, hallelujah, all to Jesus, and not do it. Now again, let me just talk about me, because I'm not throwing stones here, okay, at anybody, but it was a revelation to me, and not a good one, that I've loved God all my life, I've served Him all my life, it's like I've given Him everything, except me. I've been willing to go anywhere, do anything in that sense. And I've done a lot of that. And I've risked my life for Him. And I've left all my money behind two or three times. And, you know, just literally, like, I've got all of those things. But the bottom line is, it's me doing it. And I come to this realization that so much, it's like I've operated my life like, Lord, I am the driver of my life, and I love you, and I'll give you anything, and I'll obey you, and I want to serve you, and I need your power, I need your grace, I've got your promises, all of these things, but it's still me behind the wheel. Don't look so holy. We're going to talk about you in a minute. No, come on. Can I say that? I think a lot of our Western, British, American, whatever, thinking, we're really big on the individual. Now, there's a lot of good in that, because it's like, you know, we're very, especially in America, we stand up for our rights. You can't do that to me, my rights, and like, amen. I have no problem with that as a society, The problem is the kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is a dictatorship. The kingdom of God is a perfect, glorious dictatorship with the most wonderful, benevolent, glorious, sacrificial servant. He's not a dictator. Dictator's not the right, but it's a kingdom. That's my point. Let me say that. We serve a king. And I think so often what we've done is accepted Jesus as our Lord and our personal Savior, and we've given him a really big place in our life. Again, I'm talking about me here. I've never faced the fact that I've never completely turned the whole of my life over to Jesus. And I don't mean that in the sense that there's some like little basement where I'm smoking black tar heroin and, you know, it's just like, I don't mean like there's some like horrible rebellion thing going on. But sometimes our rebellion is still in that thing, Lord, I'm basically the pilot, the Lord, the driver of my life. You're a close co-pilot, Lord, and I'm really going to listen to you, but the buck stops with me. And I just came to the realization, and it was a terrifying, I think I had to think about it for about 3 days. It was like the Lord saying, Graham, would you literally come and lay your life down and say, anything you want, Lord, I will do. Again, it's easy to say, amen, hallelujah, lay your out. Yeah, I get that. But think about it. I was talking with some friends yesterday. Why don't we do that? I'm not sure this is all the reason, but here's some of what my friends are thinking. I don't think we hear a lot of messages about that. Yeah? About actually come and give him everything. That's not a popular church growth strategy or popular, cute, like, nice message. I don't think I've ever seen a conference on, you know, total surrender, submission, whatever. Maybe we need to do one. Do I get a witness? I don't know if we teach on this. You get much. I've been reading Andrew Murray wrote a book years ago, Absolute Surrender. Really great book. I think secondly, most of us, probably all of us, have this deep sense on the inside of us. I mean, let me back out of this. If you think about it, I don't believe in original sin. I'm not trying to go down theological ways. The problem is every human being born on planet Earth, we have a sin problem. Agreed? Except Jesus. And you can look at any little child. We hold that little baby, and they're so cute and good, 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 good. But how many of you know really quickly with a baby, you see self coming out? And it's funny because even with a young child, it is brutal at times, isn't it? Come on, I'm not prophesying this over anything. But how many of you know like a two-year-old can be like a dick, rub this now? Was it just my kids or? Everybody has this except Sandy. It's true. Now, Dylan, if you're watching in France, it's 6 o'clock. And we grow, and obviously our parents, if they're good parents, they don't go, oh, he's expressing himself. If the good parents, they go, he's expressing himself, and I'm going to curtail that. I'm going to put a ceiling on that and realize, come on, the 2-year-old who doesn't learn you can't keep getting what you want through anger nearly always ends up in jail because there's no boundaries. They'll keep pushing their boundary until a policeman comes and says, okay, I'm your boundary. Let me lock you away and learn to obey society's rules. But that self thing is really deep on all of us. And we become a new creation and we're born again in our spirit. And yet in our soul, that self thing is still. And we want God, but we want him on our terms. I know so many people who really want to serve God, but they'd like to be internationally known for doing so. It's like we want God, but our soul has this me thing going on. And again, I'm just taking you through my process. I actually had to think about this. Come on, I was reminded of that twice this week. Our lives on this earth are so short, aren't they? And I don't mean that in a negative way, but very soon, all of us are probably going to be, you know, relatively in that last few moments of life, we're going to look back at our life. I was in a car wreck when I was 20, and it's true what people say. I watched the whole of my life go before me like a movie. Probably took half a second, but for me, it was like a 50-year, it was like slow-mo. I watched the whole, as this car spun around. And, thank you, Jesus. I think God wants us to, here's my point, what I'm saying. We're going to be in eternity soon. When we're in eternity, everybody is going to live under the lordship of Jesus. Do you know there's going to be no selfish things going on in heaven? Heaven is the place where Jesus is absolute Lord. And over all of heaven, God's domain, New Jerusalem, let's not argue about it. But my point is, in eternity future, from our point of view, everything will live under the absolute, we're going to live out the perfect will of God 24/7. I personally don't think we're going to lose our will, our choice, but I don't think anybody's going to ever rebel. Because I think we're going to live in, like, this is what the will of God tastes like, and it's glorious. And like a dog returns to his vomit, why would we return back to that yucky stuff? Heaven is the place where everybody lives under, in perfect submission to God. Heaven's not a geographical location. It's a posture of heart. It's the place where the perfect will of God is done. Why would we, help me out here, guys. I came to this conclusion. Why would we go around saying, I kind of want to run my own life here for the next 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, whatever, and then I want to step into this place where I'm under God's submission? Why would we not want that now? Why would that be wonderful then, but we'd go, To give everything to the Lord now might be a lesser life. And the whole thing, it's really not about having a good life or a hard life or a bad life or persecution. The issue is about control and trust. It's like the Lord says, give me the car keys, let me be the driver. I am a wonderful driver, but even if I'm not, would you trust me? And the issue is not, well, I know God's going to bless me and promise me, and those are thoughts he has towards me. Like, yeah, I believe that. But that's not, it's not we trust God because we believe he'll do great things. He is saying, will you trust me? Come on, nearly done here, guys. But grasp this. This was a real revelation to me. I had to realize that experientially, from my point of view, as I was living, it's like there was at least, you know, 30, 40% of my life. If my life was a house, it's like there were a whole bunch of rooms that Jesus never went in that much. It wasn't that they were bad rooms or sinful rooms. They were just Graham rooms where I rule over this. And if I want to get frustrated with somebody driving, people in Massachusetts are so slow. Come on, but it's like, if I want to go there, I'm going to go there, and that's for me. It's not Jesus kind of, it's not like we'd ever say this, but there's no difference when you do it. It's like I was saying, in areas of my life, Jesus, butt out. And we never say the words, but what's the difference if we kind of go, look, I just, this part, I'm gonna get in an argument with Matt. And the Holy Spirit's saying, yeah, but you shouldn't. And part of us is saying, like, shh. And if you keep saying, I'm not joking about, but you keep saying shh to Holy Spirit, he will shut up in that area. And what was a realization to me was if I had, let's just imagine I've got a house and 40% of it is Jesus free. What I have a house and 40% of it isn't under the lordship of Jesus. And all of those areas, I don't have the freedom and the rest and the love and the joy and the peace and everything. And he wants to sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely, spirit, soul, and body. And it's only when we give him everything that we get everything. And what I had to realize is I was trying to make some Faustian bargain with God, saying, Lord, I want everything you've got for me, and I'm going to give you a really big place in my life. But not everything. Or even, I think from my point of view, it was like saying, Lord, I'm going to give you everything, but I've still got control. I'm still holding the keys. I've still got veto rights over myself. Can anybody relate to this? And I think there's something, I'll be honest, terrifying, but glorious about just laying down your life and saying, oh, I don't even have a choice anymore. You know, I have no, I never think about what you do with your money, your vehicle, your, it's none of my business. And in a way, our lives, when we give them over to Jesus, he wants us to trust and obey. And he says, submit yourself. When we have a life submitted to the Lord, it's very easy to resist Satan because it's not us resisting Satan. Yeah. If I'm alone with my 12-year-old and some weird guy comes in, I had this once in some circumstances, some guy comes in, what do? I put Dylan right behind me. And it's like, Dad is going to deal with this. That's literally how we should live. We should deal with every temptation, every attack of Satan by going, Lord, it's not my job to fight, Lord. I just rest in you. You flow your life through me, your holiness through me or whatever, and I'm not trying to do this. And I think the Lord really wants to set us free. And again, maybe you guys have this, but I'll be honest, I've realized I've struggled with stress. I do a lot in my life, and I do most of it well-ish. I mean, I'm always busy. I've always got 50 plates. I'm, you know, and it's the issue's not if I do it well or poorly. The issue's let Jesus do it. Just give it over to him. Come on, think with me. Is this true? I think this is true. Every problem you have in your life, now let me rephrase that. Every internal problem you have in your life is a symptom that Jesus is not Lord there. Now, again, external things are going to come at us. We're going to have good days, bad days. It's going to be hot in the summer and cold in the winter, and there's going to be a blue president and a red president, and good day. You know, life is going to happen. Yeah, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But I tell you, these internal things we have on the inside of us, I think at one level, they all come. There's a root about us not being fully surrendered and submitted to him. Hallelujah. And again, I just want you to think, and I want Holy Spirit to shine his flashlight in your heart. I'll be honest, I had to fight. I know to fight God, but I had to fight myself for a few days with this one. Was I really willing to do that? I mean, what if the Lord came and said, Graham, take every penny you've got on planet Earth and give it away? You know, I've done that a few times, but can we just be honest? It's a lot easier to do that when you don't have a lot of money. It's great. You may want to write that down. I feel I've done that a bunch of times, but like, okay, I also feel like, okay, I've got two houses and I paid my mortgages off and I don't owe a penny in the world and I've got investments, whatever, and again, God's a good God and he's not, but he wants everything. He may not call us on everything, but he wants his lordship to follow every part of our life. And I just actually wasn't aware how many areas of my life, I don't mean like I'd be in sin, but I'd sort of tolerate, I'd be watching some series, and if somebody took God's name in vain, I wouldn't instantly switch it off and walk away. Again, I'm just talking about me, you know, I'd sort of, I had the Lord jump on me in the supermarket a couple of weeks ago. So don't tell them, okay? So I was in Shaw's, the supermarket, and I think I was buying we always call them a salad, that's French, a lettuce. And it's funny, I came to the checkout, and I sort of knew this was like the most expensive one they had, like about a $5 or $6 lettuce. And I came there, and the person in the checkout had no clue what variety of lettuce it was. You know, and they're, is it this, is it that, is it the, and you know, I'm just, I don't know what it was either. And I'm like, pick one, whatever. And they go, oh, it'll be the, we'll call it the green leaf one, $2. And then part of me's going like, yeah. I didn't know what it was called, but I knew it was the $5, $6 one. And I kind of walked away going like, yeah, favor of God, blessing of the Lord. And I just drive, Holy Spirit's just like, it's like suddenly all of my joy and my peace left. And by the time I'm just like, Jesus, where are you? I can't think of anything except this stupid lettuce next to me. And I go back and they don't even have a way of processing. They're like, keep the lettuce, we don't care. That wasn't my I had to try anyway. My problem is he wants to be Lord of everything. And we all have that story every day in a million different ways. And what we've actually all got to learn to do is to not, like I say, not resist sin. It's to jump in the arms of Jesus and go, I probably resist this the next 99 times, and then I might fail. Like, look, I don't, it's no longer we who live, Christ lives in us. Come on, I want to move on here, but how do we do this practically? Let me just say this. One of the reasons I hated this idea of like submitting and laying, consecrating and laying order, I've heard so much religious teaching about this. I have. And I hate religion. And I've heard so many people teach on this subject, and it always ends up in some condemnatory, like we're all little worms, and it's lay on the altar for hours, beating our breasts, going, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. I'm a sinner, and Kathy's a worse sinner, and John is a waste. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. And just like religious phooey. And I was around that in the 80s, and I remember being with a bunch of young people on fire. Somebody gave us lists of sin, some of them we couldn't even pronounce. We're trying to figure, we're like confessing, and we're going, what's that? And, you know, you could sins of omission, and it's like endlessly confessing something. You're like, have we confessed enough yet? And nobody ever said this outright, but the implication, by osmosis, what we caught was the way you'd know you've been accepted, you'd been consecrated, you're now fully sanctified, is by some feeling. You might seek God for days, weeks, months, and eventually this glorious day would come where the fire of God would burn you, and hallelujah. Can I say, well, it's great to have experiences like that with God, but what if that experience doesn't last? And what I learned a few weeks ago, and guys, this literally worked. I felt my life get transformed in about 2 minutes. I learned you can consecrate your life to the Lord in 1 minute. Just simply by faith. By coming to Him, I'm not using any magic words and saying, Lord, I'm afraid, but I give you my everything. I lay my life down. I put my life in your hands. I believe from your perspective I died on that cross, but Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I give you everything, and I believe you accept it. Jesus said that to the Pharisees. He said the altar sanctifies the gift. What he's saying is, he was saying to the Jews, when you bring your pigeon or whatever, you put it on the altar, you don't sit there going, I wonder if God accepted it, I wonder if it's worthy, I wonder if it's... No, when you put it on the altar, you go away believing it's sanctified. And you can come today and lay your life down to Jesus and go away saying, God accepted it. Do you have a goosebump? It's none of your business. I believe he completely accepted that. And I don't want anybody to do something religious, some big altar call here, but I think it's really worth doing that once and for all. I also think it's worth, in a sense, getting up every day and saying, Lord, I stand in that place afresh. I just lay my life down before you afresh. It's not like I've got to keep reconsecrating, but Lord, I just remind myself, it's no longer me who lives through this day, you live through me. And I believe we do that by faith, and if we'll do it by faith, like everything by faith, God will bring us into the feeling, into the experience, into the glory of it. And the great news is, guys, if God owns every part of your life, hallelujah, then heaven invades every part of your life. Your problems become his problems. Your struggles become his struggles. He doesn't have any struggles. The work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness should be quietness, rest, and assurance forever. Isaiah 32:17. And we can lay our lives down by faith. So come on, number one, you've got to see this and actually believe. Believe today. It's possible for you to go through life, whatever your day involves today, overflowing with the joy of the Lord, rejoicing in Him, living that place of rest. There's joy and peace in believing. He that believes has entered into rest and has ceased from his own labors, even as God did on the seventh day. We can step into that Sabbath, into that Jubilee, into that place of rest and peace, where it's His life flowing through us. Come on, we're going to read it in a moment, but Jesus says, John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branch. He's saying, abide in me. I said this at the beginning of Jesus, at the Gospels. Jesus goes to the disciples, and he says, follow me. At the end of the Gospels, he goes to the disciples and he says, now, abide in me. So number one, see it. Number two, come to Jesus. Number three, by faith, give him everything. Lay your life down. Come on, key number four, and I've known this for years, and yet I feel like I'm learning it in a whole new way. If we're going to abide in him, we abide by faith. And I've just been learning this whole new way of, forgive my language, but eating Jesus. Anybody ever read Watchman Nee? Normal Christian Life, Sit, Walk, Stand, Spiritual Authority, different books. It's interesting, Watchman Nee was a wonderful man of God in China. You know, he died in prison there under the Communist Revolution. But it's interesting, he actually once came to Los Angeles to preach. It was sort of like Hudson Taylor come home, like the missionary work in China came to the West. And he was preaching through an interpreter, and he was preaching about, I think he actually stood up and said, how many of you have eaten of Jesus today? And his translator translated it to help him out. How many of you have partaken of Jesus today? And he said, no, that won't do. He said, you need to eat Jesus every day. And his translator was like, well that's a little shocking to an American mind. And he's like, get over it. It's not an American gospel or a Chinese gospel. If anything, it's a Jewish, but it's a heavenly gospel. And he said, we need to eat Jesus. We need to drink of Jesus. How do we do that? Again, it's so simple. Here's what I've been doing every day, and I'm getting high as a kite doing this in some way. We've just simply got to come and take some of these simple words. Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest. And here's what I've been learning to do. Just take some of those words and sit in them and say, Lord, I thank you, you give me rest. Not give me rest, but Lord, I thank you, I have rest right now. Thank you, Jesus, I've got rest. I'm living in perfect rest. Thank you, Jesus, you are the bread of heaven. I come and I eat of you, right? And I am eating of you right now. I'm drinking of you. Thank you, Lord, I am kept in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on you. Thank you, Lord, Galatians 2:20, Christ lives in me. You say, that's the faith message. Yes, it is. I think at times, though, especially with some things, what we've got to do is learn to come into God's presence. And again, maybe you guys are great at this. I'll be honest, I'm a doer. And I can spend hours with the Lord and do a lot of things. And I've been here in this building several times a week. I'll do laps. I'm walking around, I'm confessing this and confessing that and praying and telling you that. Like a lot of great things. I've just been learning the power. And I'll be honest, it can be a little hard at first of just sitting quietly before the Lord. And for me, it often will take about 5 minutes until my flesh shuts up. Come on, you holy bunch. All of us have an internal Murray that wants to sit at his feet and drink. And all of us have this spiritual, I'm glad for spiritual Marthas, but all of us have a Martha, like, got to make Jesus a sandwich. Jesus is like, I don't like sandwich, got to make Jesus a And I tell you guys, at times, I think we've got to practice sitting quietly before the Lord. I'm not talking about emptying our mind, like some weird, I'm talking about fixing our mind on him, but not praying or saying or speaking or doing something. And frankly, I actually suggest get rid of your candle and your soaking music and your little prayer shawl and your special spiritual socks and your... I've said, you don't need the little helps. Mama's little helpers. There's something glorious about sitting before him. You say, Graham, my mind wanders. Great. Gird up the loins of your mind. Bring it back. If I take my dog outside, sometimes she starts wandering. I'm like, come back. Take authority. If you're fleshy, just sit down and shut up. And I think actually really quickly, because the Lord is real, there's a place we're sitting there and we're so one with him. Come on, guys, nearly done it, but follow me. In the Spirit, you're one with him all the time. Your soul is at perfect rest. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says you've been joined one with Jesus, vine and branch in heaven. But Jesus never said, I'll give you rest for your spirit. He said, I'll give you rest for your soul. And our soul needs quiet before the Lord. And again, I'm not against dancing and shouting and doing cartwheels, and I'll do them with you too in a moment. But if we'd sit before the Lord and take just a few simple truths and say, Lord, I want to hear you say that to me. It's like I want to hear you come over and say, I will give you rest. I want to hear the Lord say, peace, I give you. My peace give I unto you. Not like the world lives. Don't let your heart ever be troubled. Yeah. And again, there's something about sitting there and allowing that until the smile breaks out on your face, until you're absolutely one with him. Now, don't get me wrong, guys. I think we can do that, can and should do that, and practice that all day long. I actually think one of the most fun things we can do is actually we're going through life and suddenly like temptation hits us, or we see something or something that would just press a button in us, whatever that might be. And instead of, and allow that thing to send you back to that abiding place, like, Lord, I'm not even going to engage. I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. I'm one with you. In that day, you'll know I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I am in you. And not asking for it, but thanking him it's real. And I agree, there's a place of faith to just say, Lord, your word says it. But I tell you, by sitting in his presence and hearing him say that and engaging with him, I tell you, that sinks it into your heart in such a glorious way. I'm sure there are other things we could say that's feeding of Jesus. But I tell you guys, that's your soul needs to feed off the bread of heaven, the living bread. Yeah. I tell you, when you do that, you rise with wings like eagles. Those who wait upon the Lord will, the King James said, renew their strength. It says in the Hebrew, exchange their strength. This is an exchange life. He gets all of my strength. Good luck with that. I get his. They'll rise up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not be faint. Amen. Come on, let me tie these pieces together. So number one, I want you to see this today. God has a life for you, no matter what it is, where you're plugged in. It's like Jesus says, I am the electrical circuit. You are the bulb. Stop trying to produce light. 1, 2, 3. Forget it. It's not going to happen. And when you're plugged in, the system does all the work. Hallelujah. And I really want you to see that, guys. I think the Lord wants us to have a life for the rest of our life where we're abiding in him. He's flowing through us. Where we're bringing forth fruit. I had the Lord say this to me, and actually it was a terrifying thought and a rebuke, and I'll end with this, but you know, I just felt the Lord say, Graham, you can bring forth more fruit this year by resting in me than you've done in the whole of your life. And I've led thousands of people to Jesus. I've seen thousands. I've seen thousands heal in one day at times. He's going to India a lot, preach. Like, all of those things. God looks at everything we do and say it will be tested by fire. And only the things that he does in us are going to pass through this, what do they call it, this point of eternity. This is a nice building, and I'm glad for the air conditioner. This ain't going to be here that long, baby. Yeah, let's pay the bills and paint the walls and do what we can do, but it's not about that. It's only, you know, I'm glad we're here today, but it's only the fruit that lasts isn't any of the things we do. It's what we take into eternity. And I tell you, the Lord says, God doesn't like Abel trying to bring the sweat of his hand. Here's what I grew, Jesus. Yeah. God only really will accept the fruit he bursts through you. And I think until we're in that place of rest, It's so often, Lord, look what I did. Look what I suffered. Look what I... He's going, I love you, but... Nah. Thank you, Jesus. So come on, I want you to see it. I think we've got to come to Jesus to eat, to drink. Come to me, all you heavy laden. I think, and I want to pray over this together. I want to challenge you. Here's my challenge to you today. I challenge you to come to a decision. You're going to completely lay your life down to Jesus, or you're not. And I think it's better to say no to Jesus than some religious yes, and we don't follow through. I should challenge you to do business with the Lord. And at times, it's better to count the cost before you build the tower. It's not like we need the music on and some big come and lay your life down moment. I think actually, I just spent about 3 days looking over things and going, ugh. Oh yeah, there's that there. My guitars. Jesus. I shared that how years ago. In about 1998, I had this one expensive guitar. I had one guitar, and it was a really expensive guitar. And I was fasting once because I needed a breakthrough. And after 5 days, the Lord spoke to me and said, give me your guitar. I am the only person in history who's fasted an extra 5 days just to get God to change his mind. This is a true story. I fasted an extra 5 days, and then God spoke to me, and he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Give me your guitar. I was like Jacob. I fought the Lord. And he's like, I want your guitar. He's like, I want my guitar. It's my guitar. I saved and scrimped and begged and pressed my nose against the store window for 2 years to get that one guitar, and it's mine. If you came in a church in Paris and you touched my guitar, I'd be like a lion with a cub. And the Lord said, yeah, I'll take the guitar. I was like, Lord, would you like anything? Up to half my goods? He says, I'll take the guitar. In the end, after 10 days of fasting, I gave in and gave him the guitar. And I did, peace and joy did not flood my soul. I was resentful. I gave it away to somebody in the church, and I'd sit there watching them play it like... you've never done this, right? Come on, but we're in worship in power. Hallelujah, gloire à Dieu. And I'm sitting there like, my guitar. That's mine. Come on, how many of you are laughing? Don't you do that with your kids? Ouch. Or lots of other things in life. We're like, oh, I've given them over to you. Put them back. You know, come on, all of those things. About 3 months later, I got married. I went to Ruth Heflin's camp in Virginia. And I think on the second night there, I was in Richmond, Virginia, looking around. I saw this lovely Taylor guitar. It was worth twice what my French one was. And I said to Leah, one day I'm going to have a guitar like that. And I think it was about $2,000 or something. That evening, I went to this camp. It was about a month before Ruth Heflin died. And Leah and I are sitting on the front row. And she looks over, points at me, like, you, come here. She came and she gave me this check for $2,000 or whatever. She's like, the Lord wants to bless you. We went and bought the guitar. I think, Leah, if you're listening, no. I think I've got about 30 really nice guitars. I mean, really nice guitars. If I look at one, I get it. God's not trying to steal anything from you. But he wants to be Lord over, if he's not Lord over the one, he won't be Lord over the 30. Come on, let's pray together. Only way of shutting me up. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Jesus, that you are real. I thank you we don't have to pretend and drum it up. Or I thank you you're not just good principles, you're a person. And Lord, we want to know you. And forgive us, Lord, for all the times when we do know you, but so much of what we know lives in that information realm, not the heart, vacuum lived out. Vital experience with you. And Father, I want to pray that the things that you have said, not the things I have said, but let the things you have said drop into hearts this day. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us hope. I pray for anybody struggling, feeling like my life's not where I want it to be. Lord, I pray you'll give them hope today. I pray you'll show them there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. I pray if anybody's feeling like I'm drinking from a rusty pipe when there's Niagara Falls that wants to flow over their soul, I pray you'll give them hope. Lord, I pray today they'll come to you. And Lord, I pray today you'll do business with our souls. Yeah, teach us that walk of faith. But Lord, today, I want to ask everybody to take that decision. Will we give all to Jesus? Would we lay all down? And Lord, we're not looking for some flashy thing that lasts 2 days, but I pray, Holy Spirit, do business with our soul. Lord, forgive us for the times we hold back. You said, those who hold back, my soul has no pleasure in you. Forgive us when instead of giving you everything, we learn information about giving you everything. And I just speak your blessing on everybody here. What I'd like to do, guys, I just really want to, I want to say like open up, it's always open. But if you want to do some business with the Lord, I invite you to come forward today. And I think today we actually won't pray for people.